Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. James Fleming is the co-founder of The Power Within Training, a company which focuses on motivational intelligence. James returned to his native Scotland after spending a number of years in the Middle East, and it was networking that helped him get his business off the ground. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, James.
Absolute pleasure, Liz. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, you run a leadership development company with a bit of a difference, which we'll chat about in a bit. But I'd just like to know about your background first. I believe you started in electrical engineering or something like that.
Yes. If we had lots of time, I could tell you the whole story, but I'll give you the synopsis. I left school, I became an electrician, Liz. Served my time as an electrician. I then went back to college and to enhance my career, and then moved into oil and gas, and then I moved abroad when I was in my early 20s, and that was me up until I was in my late 40s. So spent most of my life actually outside the UK. And then returned back and started my company with my wife.
But you didn't lose your Scottish accent.
I didn't, Liz. No. Although I've got to admit, being abroad for such a long time, I did learn to slow down a lot and be a lot clearer than I would normally. So, for example, when I get around, you know, with my mates or family, I go into this really Glasgow accent. It's just, I don't know, it's just, yeah, that's what I do.
So you worked out in the Middle East in oil and gas and all that kind of stuff. So how did you get into the kind of coaching and training space where you are now?
That's a great story right around that. So I used to spend a lot of money as an exec in oil and gas, training my staff on sales and on leadership and, you know, mindset, even though back then we didn't really even know what it was. The mindset book by Carol Dweck hadn't even come out yet, and nothing really worked. So they would go away, they'd go on a really cool, you know, 5-4 day, you know, leadership program in a nice hotel, and they'd come back on the Monday morning and they would just go back to their old habits. Yeah. Nothing changed, and I thought, what the hell is going on? There must be something I'm missing. So I spent the last about 17, 18 years now, but I spent about the last 14 years studying, finding out what makes successful people successful, what makes people high performers. And then I decided that, you know what, I think I can do a better job. So that's how I get into leadership development and coaching and business growth, and because I thought I can do a better job.
And I think what you do is a bit different to what other people do. Is that right?
Yes, it's very different. It is, Liz, yes.
So tell me about motivational intelligence.
So motivational intelligence, it was only recently discovered, 2016-2017, by a cohort of scientists at Harvard and Stanford University, Carol Dweck being part of that group and a few others. It's also based on Nobel Prize winning research by Daniel Kahneman. Yes, it's motivational intelligence. I like to call it the third level of intelligence behind IQ, which is, you know, intelligent quotient, which is scoring based how well you can, you know, recall information and problem solve. And then EQ, which everybody knows is what most leadership programs revolve around, is our emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, but we do it slightly different because I believe, and scientists now know, that there's actually something else that drives us. And that's our motivation, our internal motivation, and which we call motivational intelligence.
So how do you help people to harness this?
Quite simply, we tell stories. So our programs are all based on it. Because if you think about this, right, so most people, Liz, who come on any leadership training course, they're probably rooted in management, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's all they've ever known. It's all they've ever been taught. The world is woefully short. You just need to look at our political spectrum, both in the UK and abroad, you know, we have a woefully short of really great leaders in this world today. And the reason for that is most people are rooted in management, that command and control, tell and direct, you know, do what I say, not as I do type thing. And if you have someone come on to a training course, any training course, and you try and tell them something that goes against their belief system, it's like their filtering mechanism just bounces that information back. Now, they may be sitting taking information in, but it isn't registered because it's against their beliefs.
Yeah.
And if it's against their beliefs and their some beliefs, then it doesn't matter how good a job you are at training. It doesn't matter how good your content is. You will never, ever get through to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do different. We don't start with, you know, skills-based leadership training. We don't start with, you know, kind of telling people what to do and how to be a great leader. We start with them telling us what a great leader is and them telling us what would make a great leader and great manager. And and it's based on lots of these stories as we go through the process. And what that allows us to do is strip back all those dominant beliefs that they hold about themselves and about others, and we get them to look at it in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
And then once we see them, once we see that change occurring, then and only then do we try to reinvigorate their belief system. We knew more dominant thoughts and beliefs around what a great leader is and what great leaders do, and managers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do. It's all about the belief systems for us. We strip away all that dominant thoughts and beliefs that they hold about themselves and others and what a great managing great leader is, and we put new dominant thoughts and beliefs in them through the course of the way the program is structured.
Yeah. So who are your clients? What kind of people are coming to you, and where are they in the world?
So we are mostly based, so we're national, so all over the UK. In fact, I'd probably say about 85% of our business is outside of Scotland, even though we're based up in Scotland.
Mm.
And about 95% of all our business, probably 98% of all our business is UK-based.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some in Northern Ireland. We have some abroad, but mostly the UK, because the market here for something that's so new but so powerful is literally untapped for us. So we see no real reason to want to go outside the UK right now, because, you know, we have this incredible plethora of businesses and organisations who really need motivational intelligence training.
Yeah. And so who are your clients? What kind of companies?
So right now, I would probably say about 85% are construction.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very big in the UK construction sector. We work with some really large companies like Redrow, Vistry, Caddick Construction, which are an incredibly forward-thinking construction company. And then lots of medium and smaller companies. I think we have probably at any one time maybe over about 500-600 clients a year, which is pretty good for a small family-run business.
Yeah. And so what do you find that they get from your training? What difference does it make to them when they go away?
So the word that comes up, I know this is going to sound really cliche, but the word that comes up more often than not when clients leave us feedback, so we're really big on getting testimonials and referrals and getting clients to tell us what they thought, and the word that comes up is life-changing.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, you know, a bit far-fetched, but the word is, this program was life-changing. It made me a better husband, a better wife, a better partner. It made me a better boss, a better, you know, friend. Because leadership is not something you leave at your office door.
Yeah.
You know, leadership is something that you live by literally 24 hours a day. You know, that's what great leaders do. They live and they breathe that leadership, that vision, whether it's in business, for their family, their friend, their partners, whatever that is, that's what real leadership is, and that's what we do. We change the way that people think about themselves, about their business, about others, and, of course, the way that they manage and lead inside their own personal lives.
Yeah, Yeah. So tell me something about the science behind what you do, because I know that's something that you've looked into.
Yeah. So a lot of it's based on, as I said, quite recent research. It goes actually back as far as the 1950s, believe it or not. Some of the research is based on by David McClelland, Dr. David McClelland, who was studying why some people are motivated and some aren't. For example, you know, youngsters who learn to play football, and some are always willing to go that extra mile. Now, they may not be, and we hear this story a lot now, they may not be the greatest football player when they were younger, but they stuck at it, they kept pushing, they kept trying, they got out of their bed early, they worked later than everybody else, they went to the park, they were training longer, they really focused on being the very, very best. And it's exactly the same with the science behind what we do. It's what makes us get up in the morning, what makes us tick. And it's certainly not money. You know, it's never money ever gets us up in the morning or makes us tick. It's very important, but it's not that. There's always an underlying belief, and it's the science behind that. And the other key, two key parts of the science behind it. One, the other one is Daniel Kahneman. So Daniel Kahneman's research in human motivation. You know, why we're risk averse and why we'd rather take certain risks on certain things, and how our you know, I'm going to waffle here because I'm getting excited now. We're actually reprogrammed as you know, human beings. We're programmed for survival, right? Not to take certain risks. So we're fighting against this pre-program that we're all born with. We're born with this program to help us survive. However, we're also born with high levels of motivational intelligence. We're born to you know, we learn fear. It's not something that we're born with.
Yeah.
We learn a lot of the traits and characteristics that hold us back in life. They're not something we're born with. So it's about the learned behaviours. So a lot of the science is based on what is it that actually makes our brains tick. Now, we used to believe, and we still do to a certain extent, that we're driven by emotions. But what is it that's driving the emotion? What is it that's kickstarting that emotion? That's your motivational intelligence. So what is it that's driving the emotion? Because if an emotion, let's say, we'll stick with fear for just the sake of the quick conversation. If the fear of something is high enough, we will literally run. We won't stop. We won't think about the consequences. We just run. And that's our motivational intelligence, is that fight or flight. And it's all about perception. So it's about what we perceive, because one person might stand and fight and be more resilient. Well, you know, you could have two brothers or two sisters. You know, one is more resilient than the other. Why is that? What's making them resilient? What is the difference? And that's the science behind what we do.
Yeah. So how do you deliver your courses? Are they in person, online? How do you do it?
Well, pre-COVID, everything we did was face-to-face. So when I say face-to-face, it would be in businesses, organisations, local hotels, all over the UK. But obviously when COVID kicked in, we literally lost every single client overnight, which was, that's a whole other story. I was standing in tears, you know, the end of March, thinking, everything I've built is gone. Yeah. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And we decided to empty our bank account. We got, I think, 10 grand off the government, our local council, and we invested every penny we had in going digital. We built our own CRM, we built our own LMS, we put every single penny into going fully digital, and we actually doubled our turnover during COVID.
Wow.
The first 6 months of COVID than we had the previous year, because we went fully digital. So everything we do, Liz, is fully digital. I would say about 95% is virtual. When I say virtual, it's live Zoom training, Teams training, because it can be one too many.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need to leave work. They can sit in the office, and it's really structured in a way that isn't boring, it isn't long, it isn't drawn out. And in fact, most people go, wow, I can't believe that was 3 hours already. It felt like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And that's really all about the content and how well it's been structured. So yeah, most of it's virtually.
Yeah. I know one of the courses that you offer is for women in construction. Why did you develop a course specifically for women?
Great question, Liz. Great question. So the programs we run are, you know, they're mixed, or the programs we used to run, they were always mixed. And as you can imagine, most of our business is UK construction sector. And what we found, particularly in the construction sector, was we had maybe 80% males and 20% females. Mm-hmm. Stereotypically around that that was the kind of figure. If I look at, you know, all the programs we ran, and I started to notice this phenomenon that the females, and people are going to kill me for saying this, the females were more engaged.
Yeah.
Their work assignments were of a higher quality. It almost felt like they wanted it more.
Mm.
And I was sitting with my wife after, I think that was the first year of running, or year and a half of running the programs, and I was sitting with my wife, who's also a co-founder and business partner. I was saying, you know, I really noticed this phenomenon, and like I don't know why this is happening. Like, I'd never ever recognised or seen this before. And she said, well, why don't you do something about it? Mm-hmm. And I said, what should I do? She said, well, why don't you build something using the same content, the same process, the same science, and build it for females in the construction sector. So we did. So we built a new program. It's a fully certified executive diploma and leading with motivation talents for women in leadership. Now, we specifically designed this one for women in construction, but we've actually ran it for, you know, females non-construction as mm-hmm. well. And it is one of our fastest and most popular programs in the whole of the UK. It is absolutely mind-blowing, and it's an incredible, by the way, I don't run them, so we actually have a couple of females, who senior females from the construction sector, who have been through that, and they now work for us as employees, and they run the program, so they have a really good understanding of the problems and challenges. Now, another thing that we do on this program, at the end of all the program, we bring in a really senior member of the construction sector, maybe someone from, you know, a really large, a female from a large company, mm-hmm. or the CITB or CIOB, and we bring them in and they do a Q&A at the end of every session, and it allows the people to talk to them and say, like, how did you get through these challenges, and what was it you did different? And do you know something, Liz? This is another really key thing. One of the biggest things that came out of these Q&As, and still does, is a lot of these really successful females say their biggest regret is trying to be too male, is trying to have male traits and characteristics of leadership. Well, what they believed at the time was leadership. And they said, you know what, when I actually revert back to being a female, I was so much better at leading.
Yeah, yeah, that is interesting.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
So let's have a chat about the networking side of things now. So when you came back to Scotland after so many years living abroad, did you have any business contacts, or were you completely starting from scratch?
Oh, Liz, I had no idea what networking was. I had been abroad. I'd worked for corporate organisations. My network was people that I knew. I moved back. Originally, we moved back to Aberdeen. We were living up in Aberdeen, obviously oil and gas, you know, that was my background. Mm-hmm. So we moved back to Aberdeen and I started up the company, and I thought, I have to get out there. And I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I was Googling, and I was at, and I remember saying, you know, your network is your net worth, and blah, 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 and all this. And I'm thinking, right, well, I've got a network. And I remember going along to the sports centre in Aberdeen. I think it's called the Sports Centre, this big place in Aberdeen. It was, I think it was on a Tuesday morning, on a Wednesday morning. And I went along and I walked up the stairs and I looked in this room, and there was, you know, maybe 80, 90 people all standing in groups and talking, eating coffee, and I absolutely bricked it, Liz. I walked back down the stairs. I walked around about this sports centre for about 10 minutes, and I kept saying to myself, James, don't be so bloody stupid. And they're only people. They're only people. And I remember I just thought, right, just go. I walked in the room, and I just walked over to a group of people, and I went, hi, how are you doing? My name's James. How are you? And that was the entrance to my networking. And from that day on, Liz, I really became a serial networker because I was learning so much about business. And more importantly, I was learning from people who were struggling in business to get their business off the ground and to really make money. You know, micro business world. You know, a lot of people are really struggling and, you know, for business. And I learned so much. And I mean, I literally serial networked for about 4 years.
Yeah.
Building that brand, building that understanding. And it was because of the networking that I was able to build my very first training course. Because I thought, you know what, I'm hearing the same things. Or I don't want to come across salesy and you know, a lot of lack of confidence and getting out there. And I thought, I went and built my very first program based on that networking experience. And it was called Self-Leadership Development.
And what kind of networking do you do now?
It's much more strategic now. So my networking is more of the kind of larger kind of corporate type of, so I go to events like CITB and CIOB. I go to much larger, we'll call them events, rather than the stereotypical networking event for your really small businesses. And because obviously our target market's changed. So that's another big thing that I think a lot of people need to understand when they network is your target market going to be there?
Yes.
And what message do you have? And don't go in and try and sell anything. Go in and understand people. Get to know them. Go and have a coffee after the event, because those people are the real gold dust when you network.
Yeah, absolutely. The magic happens in the one-to-ones afterwards, doesn't it? Not necessarily in the meeting itself.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I went to, I don't know if you've heard a thing called BNI. There are other networking events available. But I went to BNI for a few years, and that really opened my eyes up to how important one-to-ones were.
Yeah.
Because you thought you knew these people until you sat down one-to-one. And that was a game changer.
Yeah.
Taking that little bit, an extra hour a day to go and meet people face-to-face, have a coffee. Wow. You really get to understand them, their business, and then you can refer and recommend them so much easier.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So what are your plans for the future, James? Where is your company going next?
Well, me and my wife started off 7 years ago. So actually, we've been trading for about 6.5, but 7 years ago, we set the company up. And we started off just me and my wife and absolutely zero training and development experience. You know, I'm an oil and gas operations person. My wife's logistics manage experience. And we're now at 16 staff, 17 on Monday. We hired someone last week. She starts on Monday. 17 staff. Where do I see this going? I see motivational intelligence being as big as, if not bigger, than emotional intelligence. I think it is the future of business and leadership. That's what I absolutely believe in my heart. I have a passion for it, and I think it's my responsibility and my passion and purpose in life is to get that message out to the masses of the importance of motivational intelligence and how it can not only change your leadership, but it can change your business, your relationships, how you interact and act with employees, even in a networking event. You know, if people went in there with that a real understanding of motivational intelligence, they could completely change the way they network forever.
Mm.
In fact, that gives me an idea of a new training course.
Fantastic. I should look for that coming out soon then, James. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. I've really enjoyed chatting to you and learning about motivation intelligence. And I'm sure it's something that we're going to be hearing more about over the coming months and years.
Absolutely. A little add-on. I've actually got a book coming out, Liz. It's called You Can Have Success or Excuses, But Not Both. And it's my journey leaving school with no qualifications and how I managed to, you know, land a job as an electrician and then go back to college and university and run a $2.5 billion business with literally nothing, you know, just this little boy from Glasgow, and then pack it all in and then start another company up and then, you know, in 7 years having a seven-figure business and 16 staff. So it's all about, it's a story of real life challenges and how we overcome them if we just change the way we look at them. I think we've all heard this, change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So it's really all about that.
Yeah, sounds like a great story. So finally, where can people find you if they want to know more about you or buy your book even?
Yeah, so I'm huge on LinkedIn. You know, James Fleming, TPW at LinkedIn. And if you want us on any social media, website is thepowerwithintraining.com. Social media, The Power Within Training on LinkedIn, Power Within Training on YouTube, The Power Within Training. You just put in The Power Within Training, you'll find us somewhere. I think I'll own about 30 websites and social media platforms with the same name.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, James.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Liz, really has. And thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.